Let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
And as we sung that song, oh, I want to see him. And in order to see him in a joyous state, we must obey his will while here on earth. Let me say Happy New Year to everyone. Yeah, Lord allowed each of us to see a new year. And we're thankful for that. If you're here this morning and you're visiting with us, we want you to know you are VIPs. You are a very important person. And we thank you for choosing to worship with us on this morning. And we're still thankful for those that are members here at Highland Heights that are in our category of our sick and shut in and not physically able to be with us on this morning. We're thankful for them. And those that are able, we want to let you know that if I'm able, I should be assembling with the Lord, with the saints, on Sunday morning and on Sunday afternoon. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I like to start off as I do in Acts 2:42. And I do this because I think I want us to be mindful of the fact that we are here to worship God. Yeah, so we find in the Bible in Acts 2:42, the first time they assembled after the ascension of Christ back to heaven. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. I want to thank all those brothers that have thus far participated in our singing. We're going to have apostles teaching on this morning. Fellowship is means that the word fellowship means to share what I'm doing. God gives me the opportunity to share with him what I've been blessed with from him. And so I give back to the Lord faithfully. Also, it talks about in breaking of bread, we commune with the Lord. Our hearts, as our brother led this morning, should go back on the fact that Christ died on the cross for each of us. And so we commune with him. That bread represents his body. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood that was shed on the cross. We also pray. Then the Bible says in verse 47, as Luke wrote, he said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. No one deserves the age of accountability are saved from their sins until they obey the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, it's my responsibility. I'll share at the end of the message what one must do. But again, no one can have a chance of going to heaven unless they're added to the church, the one church that Christ died for, that he built. And the Bible says those that are added are saved from their past sins. Amen?
Yeah.
Some say that a New Year's resolution is a personal goal to change unwanted behavior, to make a life improvement, or to try something new. I would like to offer from the Word of God a New Year's resolution for me and every member of the Highland Heights Church of Christ and anyone that listens to this sermon. Yeah, I want to offer that. I would say this is the goal for 2024. Paul penned to the Galatian church, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What do you mean, Paul? To be crucified means to die. How did you die And nevertheless, you are living. Yeah. Yeah. What does Paul mean by that? Paul said, he wrote, thank our brother for reading our hearing. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah, that's it right there. That's it. We're going to unpack what Paul said about himself. Now, for those that may not know, crucifixion was an act of killing someone by nailing his or her hands and feet to a cross. So, Paul lets us know that Christ was crucified. Christ was on the cross with nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and they left you there until you died. Now understand this. That death, crucifixion, was a lingering death. Yeah. One dies slowly from crucifixion. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Yeah. Now, how is one crucified with Christ? What is the meaning of that phrase? Because Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. And I'm here this morning. If you're here visiting this morning, understand this here. You have to also be crucified with Christ. Yeah. How is one crucified with Christ? And Paul said, yet I live. Yeah. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul said, or wrote, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul also wrote previously before that in Romans 3:23, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. So Paul asked the question, shall we continue? He was just reminding them of what they had done. He said, shall we continue in sin that God's grace may abound. All of us right now are living on the grace of God. Yeah, we're living on the grace of God. And Paul said, shall we continue in sin? And then he said to them, he said, no, God forbid. God won't allow it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Yeah. Everyone that reaches the age of accountability must die to sin. What do you mean by the age of accountability? When you are old enough to understand right from wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus died for the wrongs that we did in our life. Jesus died on the cross for that. So Paul lets them know that Jesus died for sin, but all of us must die to sin. Can't keep living like that. Then he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. As one is taught the gospel of Christ, their obedience in water baptism completes one's dying to sin, because Jesus Christ died for our sins, being crucified. Yeah. Here this morning, you haven't done that. Understand this here. You have no hope of going to heaven if you don't complete this act. Yeah. You must understand that the gospel has three facts to it. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried on that cross. And they, when he died, remember now, they left him up there for 6 hours. He was there with nails in his hand and nails in his feet. Remember I talked about, now, crucifixion is a slow death. Yeah. And then Paul said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, notice now, in a newness of life. After baptism, once you start dying while Christ began to live in us. Yeah. The Christian begins a new life. The Christian must demonstrate the life of Christ in me. That's what Paul said. Paul said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
That's it.
How does Christ live? How is this done? How did Christ live in me? How am I crucified with Christ? Well, Paul, when he wrote to the Colossian church, he said, mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, what Paul was saying here, all of these are bad desires. And it centers around the idea of wanting something that is forbidden by God.
Wow.
Yeah, when I want to have sex with another person that I'm not married to,
that's right.
Those are bad desires.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want to have the relationship and enjoyment of that? The Lord, the Paul taught me 1 Corinthians 7. You need your wife. Yeah. If anyone in this audience understand this here, you got bad desires in you. When you looking at a person you ought not look at.
Mm-hmm.
When you want to touch a person you ought not touch.
Mm.
Yeah, those are desires. We all have them. Yeah. We all have them. Now that's just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Paul talks about unclean when I want to do those things. It's not right. When I have inordinate affections are those bad affections I have. And also when I'm evil. You know, some of us, we hate people. We dislike people. We're mean to people. Yeah. Yeah. That's bad stuff. And then Paul says, some of us are covetous, meaning we put what we want before the Lord. Yeah, some of us can't worship the Lord faithfully because we chasing money. Dollar. Yeah. Paul said covetousness is like idolatry. Why? Because that become your God.
Amen.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with money. Yeah. 1 Timothy 6:17. Paul said God gives those things richly to enjoy. Ain't nothing wrong with enjoying money. But don't put that before the Lord.
That's right. There you go.
That's the teaching. Don't put nothing for the Lord. But Paul said that now you got to mortify. Now, there needs to be a gradual mortification of the members which are upon the earth. That's what Paul said there. So what does mortify mean? Yeah, mortify means to put to death by removing the strength something may have. I have a desires in me that are not consistent with the will of God. They got to die. That's what Paul said, I am crucify. Some things have to die. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't die fast, but they got to die. How do they die? When they no longer have, you no longer have a temptation for that, that's how I die. Mm. So it dies within you. Mm. That's what Paul told the Romans. And I'm going to get there next. Notice Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I got to die to stuff. Yeah. What's your goal, Brother Stroud 24? To die to stuff. Push stuff to death.
That's right.
Those desires that I have in my heart that I know that's not consistent with God, they have to die. Amen. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Those things are dying in me.
Yes.
Yeah. How do they die, Brother Stroud? Paul said in Romans 12, it's how it died. Paul said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. See, as one grows in Christ, conforming to the world dies. Now, some of us, we still want to be out there in the world. Yeah, the world is still in us. We still like chasing. We still like doing those things. They're not partying, drinking. Those things are still in us. Mm. They got to die. How do they die? When I conform to Christ, when I allow Christ, the word of God, to live in me. Notice the word conform means to fashion one thing like another. When you he said, be not conformed to the world. Right. We don't live like the world.
Right.
Yeah. Also can't be conformed. What's the word conform mean? Turn your Bible. Use your Bibles this morning. Get from me 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 18, because the way it dies, I got to renew my mind. I got to renew my mind. But Peter wrote something in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and the verse is number 14. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 1:14. Know what Peter said? He says, as obedient children, watch what he said. Not fashioning. That word fashion is the same word for conforming. Mm-hmm. Same word. Mm-hmm. Same Greek word. Mm-hmm. Same Greek word. Mm-hmm. Paul says, as obedient children, don't fashion yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, before we became Christian, we did a lot of stuff. Yeah, we had a lot of desire that was in us. And the problem now is some of us are in the Lord and those lusts and desires are still in us and we're not ignorant no more. You know better. We know better. It's my responsibility to teach the whole counsel of God that we all live better. Paul said, Peter said, don't, as obedient children, don't fashion yourself according to the former desire that you had when you was ignorant. He said, but as he which has called you into is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. We got to start living right.
Amen. Amen.
Paul said, Peter said, so I do that by transforming my mind. The word of God has to be in my mind. So what Paul mean by that? Now, Paul told him in 1 Corinthians, watch what he said. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. So that means Paul was saying to follow as a pattern or to imitate. We can follow after those that are following the pattern set by Jesus in the Word of God. Yeah, we can. We need to identify members that are walking upright. Paul said, be ye followers of me. Why? Because I'm following Christ.
Right.
Yeah. How did Paul follow Christ? Peter said it.
Watch this.
Peter said, for even hereunto were ye called, you're Christian now, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Get this. An example. The word itself, the Greek word there, hypo means low, hyper means up. So what the word means, oftentimes when you see those Greek words, the second meaning goes first. The word grammos is coming where we get the word grammar means to write. So what Paul was saying, the word example means to write under or to trace letters. Now, Paul was saying what we do in school, my school teachers are here and those that teach our children. Teaching penmanship by the copybook method. When we was taught to write, I know when I was in my elementary days, they would have that letter at the top of the page. And I was supposed to trace that letter as best I could. I got that B. I have to trace that letter as accurate as I could. Well, Jesus Christ is that perfect letter.
Mm.
And so what we got to do, we got to trace the letter. But you notice something, I noticed something about when you was in school and you was writing. The further you got down the page, the harder it was to trace that letter. Y'all miss that.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all miss that. When you're writing, you have those letters at the top. And you are tracing those letters. But the further I get down that page and the further I get from the letter, the harder it is to trace the letter.
Mm.
The further we get from Christ, the harder it is
Amen.
To live for Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what Peter was teaching in that text, that he said Christ is our example. We should try to live as close to the copy or the original as we can. We all learn to write, and with practice, our handwriting improved. Guess what? When I started writing and I didn't throw my pencil down and say, forget that. I had to go back. And I'm saying all of us in our lives, however you've been living, I still got to follow the copy. That's what Paul was saying. Yet not I live, but Christ liveth in me. Paul said, or Peter is saying, we got to trace the life of Christ in our lives. We got to live that way. Yeah. And watch this here. As with writing, you know, I have two daughters. I'll use myself as an example. One of my daughters have almost ideal handwriting. Yeah. My wife can bow to that. Now, I have another daughter whose handwriting is not as good as the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason for that, I'm at fault for that. I'll tell you why. Because with the first one, when her letters wasn't right, my wife would make her go back and practice your handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, to this day, you look at it, oh man, that's something. My other daughter, I intervened, said, oh, Mom, you ain't got to let that girl, she ain't got to practice her handwriting, and she did not. And to this day, her handwriting is not as good as the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because one of them practiced and was made to practice. And sometimes we can mess our own children up. Yeah. Some of us, because we don't allow people that know how to do things to do it, sometimes we get in and we need to leave stuff alone. Yeah. One of my daughter's hand right now is as good as the other, and that's the reason. Brother Stroud. Yeah, left that girl alone. Mom, she ain't got it. Mom, she ain't got it, right? Babe, she need to break on that. That's okay. Let her, give her a break. Yeah. But we got to trace those letters. Yeah. Yeah. And so again, watch this. Man must have a pattern, a model, or as Peter said, an example to follow. Yeah. Yeah. We all need a recipe for how to live. Watch this. A recipe is a way of doing something that will produce a particular result. Now, we have the perfect pattern in Jesus Christ. He is our model.
Yeah, yeah.
Christ is our model.
Yeah.
Now, man needs a pattern. We need to follow something. Peter said in his text that Jesus is that example. We just got to trace. We got to try to live as close to Jesus as we can. But let me say this here, for those that know about cooking. Yeah, sometimes you got to get in the kitchen and you cook from memory. Yeah, some of our better cooks, you know, you don't have to, I don't need, I because of the fact I've done this enough. I've cooked this meal enough. I know this recipe. I can cook it. Well, as a Christian, that has to be effect too, because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, watch this here. He says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in name. We can learn to cook from memory. Yeah, memory is to possess something, have something. We should learn to remember God's word and keep it in our hearts. Yeah. So every time something happens, now I have the word of God in my heart. Mm-hmm. It's in my memory. Yeah. I can cook this recipe. I know how to deal with someone when they come at me. Yeah. Yeah. You got to know, how do you deal with someone when they coming at you, when you know somebody's trying to provoke you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes, as Jesus, sometimes you just let people talk. Don't even say nothing. Just let them talk. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because the word of God, I got Christ's example. When he was before Pilate, the Bible said he said not a word. Sometimes the best thing to do when people are trying to agitate you, just don't say nothing. Understand. People will try to agitate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Let me say this here now. There are Christians in this congregation. Yeah. That will try to agitate and provoke you. I've seen it. Yeah. So what I have to do, Paul said, I have to keep in memory the word of God. Yeah. So now, what's the recipe to all of this? Yeah. The success of our efforts depends on two things. I've already talked about one of them is the accuracy of the pattern. That's Jesus Christ. That's the first part. Paul said, be ye fathers of me as I am of Christ. So the first thing, I got to have an accurate pattern. I got to have the word of God in my heart. I don't have to be able to spit out scripture, quote scripture, but I got to know the word of God, and it's got to be in my heart. That's number one. Now watch number two. Number two is the faithfulness to which we stick to it.
here. John wrote, 1 John 5. Watch what John said. Both of them in there. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So now, we know that God has given us a pattern. Now we got to stick to the pattern, which are God's commandments. Yeah. And he said, not the word grievous means it's not difficult. Now let me say this here to all of us. Anything is difficult if you don't want to do it. Yeah. Going to work is hard if you don't want to go to work.
That's right.
Yeah. Anything is hard if you don't want to do it. But if I have a desire to please God, and I know that John said, and his commands are not grievous. If doing the will of God is difficult, that's because of me, not the word of God.
No.
Some of us won't be faithful to God because we want to do what we want to do. That's those bad desires.
There you go.
Yeah. Let me say this here while I'm going across the territory. Some of us, you know, this can apply to both ways. I'm going to drop this while I'm going across the surface.
Drop it in the water.
You know, sometimes when we're single and we by ourselves, sometimes it's hard because I'm used to doing everything I want to
do.
Yeah. I don't want nobody telling me nothing. I don't want nobody trying to tell me what to do.
No.
I'm used to doing what I want to. And sadly, sometimes we're in a marriage and I want to do what I want to
do.
Yeah, but if you like that, you never should have got married. Yeah, because last time I read the Bible, it said those that are two become one flesh.
That's right.
Yeah, you can't just brush off. You can't just go do what you want to do. No, you got a wife now. Yeah. I got to get permission slips. Yeah, you know, just do what you want. No, babe, sister, can you give me a slip to be able to go mess with the fellas tonight? Yeah. No, you can't go tonight. Brothers, catch you later. Yeah. But I'm saying to us, I have to understand that I have to give myself to the word of God for me to better myself. Yeah. Turn to John chapter 6. I move toward the close. John chapter 6. So again, the success of our efforts is determined by two things, the accuracy of the pattern and the faithfulness to which we stick to it. But now Jesus says something in John 6. And I think I said to the congregation earlier, our teaching class, and I want to just go ahead and look at something and remind us of something while we turn to John chapter 6. And meet me verse 26. I said earlier, there is only one gospel. There ain't no four gospels. Now, there are four books regarding the gospel. Ain't but one gospel. However, the gospel, when you read the gospels, I think I said this in Bible class, and my memory wasn't whacking that good. So I had to go back and find out whatever. I had to go back and find my notes. Matthew gospel, his target audience was the Jews. That's why Matthew's writing, you see a lot of things Old Testament written. Jesus said, you have heard in old time, because those individuals were of the Jewish descent that he wrote to. That was his primary target audience. Mark's book, a letter, his target audience was the Romans. He wrote to the Romans. Yeah, and it was about power, running stuff. He wrote to them. Luke, his letter, were to Gentiles. were the Gentiles. Yeah. Those that didn't know Christ. And so he wrote to them. Now, John's letter were to Christians. Yeah, so I think I said that another day. I want to just come back and follow up with that. So you'll find things that were written in, you notice if you go to Mark's letter, you don't see a lot of things that Jesus said this, Jesus said that, because they wasn't familiar with the Old Testament. Yeah. But then when Luke wrote to the Gentile, he shared things with them that they understood. But Jesus said in John 6:26, where I want to go, just want to clear it up. And when you think about that, Peter wrote more so to the Jewish audience, where those Jews that had left and been scattered, where Paul, most of his letter, were the Gentile people. That's why when you read the Bible in John, let me just show you the transition. When you read about Paul, what he was called Saul. Y'all notice that? Let me show that in the Bible. Go to Acts 13. I don't like to share stuff and don't show it. And I'm going to come back to John 16. I'm on good time, and we're going to close. I just want us to see what you're talking about, Brother Starr, when it was written to. Yeah. In Acts 13. Now, watch the transition here. Watch the transition. John 13. And the verse. I heard that book. What verse, Brother Starr? The verse is number 9. Thank you for asking. Now, up to this point, Paul was called Saul. That was his Jewish name. It was Saul. But Paul was finna get ready to go on a missionary journey. And so now his Gentile name was Paul. That's the reason you see the change from the Bible says in Acts 13. Then Saul, who is also called Paul. Yeah, Paul was ready. He had just left. Notice in verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. Paul was finna get ready to go on his first missionary journey. They didn't recognize him as Saul was familiar to the Jews. Now, Paul was his Gentile name. That's why the rest of the text, we read the word Paul instead of Saul.
Right.
That's why. Yeah, it's because of the audience that he's teaching. Yeah, so that's why those four different books or four different letters, but it's only one gospel, but they all had target audiences. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So in John chapter 6, we're talking about our goal, 2024. Jesus said, to those people that was following him because of the miracles and the loaves. See, some of us, let me read the text first. John, did I say 6:26?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily,
I say unto you,
you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Some of us worship God because of what we think God going to give us.
Mm.
Yeah. Some of us are just faithful because we think that if we come to church, come to worship service, that God going to, we for the loaves. Yeah. Jesus identified that. Yeah, he said it wasn't the miracles that was done to bring about belief. He said because the Bible said we have miracles, signs, and wonders to bring about belief. Jesus said, y'all not following me because of the miracles I've done. Y'all follow me, y'all worry about your pocketbooks and your food and what you're going to eat. Some of us worship God because what we think God going to give back to us. If I come to worship service, then God going to bless me. If the shoe fit. Yeah. So you got to ask yourself, why I come to worship service? Why is I'm here? Is it because of the loaves? Is it because of the fact that God is blessing me with my job and my job is going good? And I kind of connect that if I just keep coming to worship service and keep doing that and keep giving God offering and that, then God going to keep blessing me. And that, you coming for the lows. Yeah. Why would Jesus say it here? Jesus said, here's the text, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Yeah, because all that money you're making, all them things you buying, those things going to go away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Some of us, we trying to leave everything to our children. You die, them children will blow that stuff as soon as you die. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm saving, I ain't going to subscribe. Babe, we going to say, no, we ain't saving. Nobody. No. That's why you raise children. They go out there and get it for themselves.
That's right.
Yeah. My goal, our goal as parents, yeah, is to be able to see them walk across that stage and get their first job. Once they get their first job, get out of my pocketbook. And some of us, we enable our children. We keep giving to them and they ain't doing nothing. Yeah. If you ain't got no job, every morning I should see you chasing that job. We got children. Let me just say this here. I'm going to talk to all of us. Yeah. When you stop getting education, meaning when you stop going to school, now you need to be clocking in every day.
Yes, sir.
At a job.
Amen.
As long as you get an education, ain't no problem. You stay here till you are 3,000 years old. You can get a master's, a PhD, or ABC, whatever you want. But as long as you progressing, it's our responsibility. Yeah. And hopefully we get to a point that life allows us that, you know, because some kids have to go to school and work and do all that stuff there. Sometimes life deal you that hand. Mm. Yeah, it's just a hand you dealt with. But other times, the parents can finance it well and you can do that. You can support a child going, and as long as you're going to school, you ain't got to clock in for nobody. But the day you start, Dad, I'm tired of going to school. That's okay. Monday morning when I get up with me because you going somewhere. Yeah, you're going to find something. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. We got to teach our children right. Mm-hmm. You got to raise them right. Raise them up. My money ain't for you to live off of. No, no, no. Ain't no happening. Yeah. It's a strive. We want to enjoy ourselves. Yeah. And I tell the church this here. I'm saying this here. I work for a living. And I preach to please God.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what I do. By example, Paul in Acts 18:3. Paul worked and he told the congregation in Corinth to provide for him a carnal thing because he gave them spiritual. That's Bible. Mm-hmm. That's Bible. I want the church to know that. Yeah, but Brother Stroud worked for a living. But my joy is preaching to this congregation.
Amen.
Yeah. So watch what Jesus said in John. He said, don't labor for the meat to perish, but for that meat which endureth, watch this here now, unto everlasting life. He says, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed. Here. Jesus said to all of us, now notice now, he said, don't work for the meat that perisheth. Yeah. Yeah. Don't make the principle of your life things. Yeah. Cars and houses. Don't let that be, don't labor just for that. He said, now, look for the spiritual food which endures unto everlasting life.
we should seek the spiritual food which produces. Jesus said eternal life. And I'm saying all of us, goal 2024. I'm seeking the spiritual food. My responsibility when I mount this pulpit is to give you spiritual food that will endure to, I want everybody to go to heaven. The only way you're going to heaven, we got to follow the word of God.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's my responsibility to give you those things that are necessary from the word of God that we can make it to heaven. So my goal, 2024, is I'm trying to crucify some stuff in me. Yeah, those things that I know that are not consistent with the will of God, I'm working on me. Yeah, and those things are dying. But the thing about things is dying, number one, I got to recognize that I'm sick. Yeah, sometimes we don't want to admit that we got issues in our life. Yeah, but I got, that's why Paul said, Corinthians, he said, examine yourself. Yeah, I got to look at myself. Mm-hmm. I got to see the things in my life because guess what? Horace Stroud, I want, Paul said, yet not I, but I want Christ to live in me. I want people to see more of Christ in me. And he said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I listened to the word of God and those apostles that he gave to pen thing. That's how I live. Why? Because Jesus Christ loved me. Paul said, and he gave himself for me. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, yeah. 5 steps to becoming a Christian. You got to hear the gospel that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You have to believe that. That's according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. You have to believe that. Then you have to repent of your sins, meaning that you have to turn from the life you've been living. You have to turn toward Christ. That's where it starts. Then you'll come down here, and you'll make the confession that we find in Acts 8, 37, where the eunuch, before he got baptized, he had been taught by Philip. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to make that confession. And then we will water baptize you for the forgiveness of your sin. Now you have a newness of life. Yeah. All your sins are washed away in water baptism. Why? Because the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, by faith, that blood is also in that water. That will cleanse you of your sin. Now, if there's a person that you feel that you need to get your life back right and you want to rededicate yourself, you can do that too. You come down, you've been away, I need to come down. If I've been away from the church, I have been worshiping, I'm in sin. I need to acknowledge that. Brothers and sisters, I've sinned. I'm asked to pray for church. I don't have to tell them, you know, I haven't been attending service. I have sinned. I repented my sin. Yeah, because it's public. If you haven't been here, it's public. We don't know where you've been. Yeah, but if you want to rededicate your life, you can do that. So for 2024, I'm trying to crucify myself. I'm trying to die with stuff. I want Christ to live in me. We should all want more people to see Christ in us. That's the life of Christ. Well, we show patience with people. We long-suffering with people. If there's anyone that would like to respond to the gospel message, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of him. Thank you very much.
Would you be free
from
no burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
There's
power in the blood.
Would you,
O evil,
a victory win?
There's wonderful power in the blood.
And there is power. There is
working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. in the prayer.